First Timothy in chapter 1 of, you know, this is a Paul speaking to Timothy, his letter to Timothy, telling his young disciple, be strong. Let's go to verse 3. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says, as I urged you when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. So again, Paul has this young disciple, Timothy, in Ephesus, which was one of the churches that he planted. There's a book of the Ephesians where Paul talks to the Ephesians, but right now he's talking to Timothy, and he tells Timothy, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus. I sent you there so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrine. In other words, he sent him there to regulate somebody. He sent them to regulate, to tell certain people not to teach false doctrines. He said, stay there. Why did Paul say stay there? I think because it was a tough crowd, a tough neighborhood. Maybe a very religious, you know. Maybe not a lot of believers. Maybe a lot like Piru, somebody. And he's telling him, stay there. He says, Don't leave. You got to preach the truth. Coming to Piru, having our church in the first few years that we had it, you know, we've seen it, you know, a lot of, I did a lot of celebrations for life, you know, in our first years of our church, you know, and I believe that's what I was there for. Then we went through around and we got a lot of families and our church was pretty big, but then COVID hit and took some people out. In the last year, we saw some of our bigger families go. That's not gonna deter me. I'm not gonna say, you know what? Oh man, I guess, you know, that's it. I can't do that because of the calling on my life. You know, God's drilled it in me to preach the gospel. I wouldn't mind having a big church, but he didn't send me here for that. You know, God told me a long time ago, he said, I didn't send you to have a big church. He said, I sent you to preach the gospel. And I heard that loud and clear from him. So that's what I'm going to do. Amen. So having ministry and not having it grow, it's a trial. And I'm sure Timothy was feeling that right here where Paul commanded him to stay there and preach the word. He said, I command you to command certain people not to teach false doctrine any longer. See, teachers of the gospel, they must be charged to preach the true gospel, but charged to preach no other gospel. They're charged to preach the gospel, but they're really charged to preach no other gospel. It's Jesus was sent from God, born of a Virgin Mary, died, crucified, and rose again on the third day. That's the gospel of God. He died for our sins. That was God's bridge to him, his bridge to his people that went a wicked way. He said, you know, I got to reel them back. And he says, I'm going to send my son down and to die for their sins. And anyone who believes in that will be saved. That's the gospel. That's plain gospel. But look how Paul tells him, They must not preach any other gospel. See, many preachers will stay away from sin, Satan, and hell. But that's false doctrine. You know, they do it for the numbers, or they do it for because the numbers pay their salary. That's why they won't talk about sin or hell or Satan. You know, they don't want to scare you guys. You guys might take off on me, you know? And I can't be afraid of that. I have to tell you, hey, there's a devil out there, and he wants us to live in bondage and debt, and he wants to hold us down. I was down when I came to Christ. Running around and around. Man, I was tired. Tired of running around, 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 around. But that's the devil wants to beat you down. And I've got to tell you about it. But other preachers, they won't talk. They won't touch that. I'm sure you guys all know Joel Osteen. How many here heard of Joel Osteen? Everybody. Joel Osteen will never talk about sin or hell or Satan. He says, because, let me see if I wrote it down. Well, he got interviewed one time, and then he said, oh, people hear about all the bad stuff all the time. I want them to come here and be at peace. You know, that he's doing that for the numbers. He's doing that so people will, you know, oh yeah, I love Joel Osteen. He's just always encouraging, but he ain't teaching you how to be a child of God. I mean, that's why Pastor Ruben tells you, hey, we can't be this way if we're gonna be blessed by God. The plan is to be blessed by God. Right? That's what I'm here for. I wanted my life to be blessed. And to be blessed by God, we have to please God and stay away from sin and all that stuff. But false doctrine. See, my Bible talks a lot about sin. It talks a lot about Satan. It talks a lot about, well, it says, if we follow that, we will be left out of eternal life. My Bible says how we should be and how we shouldn't be. That's real doctrine. I am to build soldiers of God, teachers of the truth. I'm not building a bunch of lalas for God, somebody. You know, God told me, don't worry about the numbers, but preach the truth. Paul said, I think in the King James Version, he said, no other doctrine. This is, what is a doctrine? A doctrine is what you believe. And in this church, we believe God sent his one and only son, died on the cross, and this and that, you know. We also believe marriage between a man and a woman. We believe every life is a life. So we're against abortion. And those are some of our doctrines in our doctrine me and Maria made, you know, when we started the church, you know, and that's all biblical. That's all down the line with the way the Holy Bible says. So it's what you believe. I believe what the Bible says, because it's in the Bible. There's no adding to it and no leaving it out. No mixing up the scripture or watering it down. Well, Pastor, I don't believe I have to live the way the Bible says I have to be. Well, you go ahead and waste your time and see where that leads you. Again, the Bible says God chastens us. He disciplines us. And the way he disciplines us is by how? By taking his hand off of you. Because you're going to discipline yourself, somebody. Without God in your life, you will go down. You'll find yourself in terrible relationships. You'll find yourself in debt. You'll find yourself using drugs, drinking beer, alcohol, You'll find yourself down. You will beat yourself down. That's God's way of punishing you because of this stuff, the flesh. It's just the world. That's the way the world is. You know, I want to prosper. God says, Jeremiah 29:11, I have plans for you to prosper. What else does it say? Let's go there. There we go. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from the nations and places where I banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. That's something that we need to get a hold of. We need to grasp. God has a good plan for me. I just need to fall into his ways. Amen? That's it. That's it. Why don't I feel I'm getting blessed by God? Because you're not in his ways. He has a good plan for my life. If I don't get into his ways, I'm not going to get the blessings of him. He's got a different life for us. A whole different life. I'll say he has life for us. A life, somebody. Get a life. See, the whole Bible is needed to hear. Otherwise, why was it written? It was written so people can know the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus is called the way, the truth, and the life, somebody. That's why the Bible was written. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. Through him. You know, Jesus is also called what? The Word. Jesus is the Word. That's our doctrine. Reading and living as the Bible says to live. That's the doctrine that those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So Timothy was to stop the false teachers and not devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. See, in the Torah, you guys know what the Torah is, somebody? What's the Torah? The Torah is the first five books of the Bible, which the Jews only read. They only believe in the first five books. That's the Torah. Their book is five books from the first five books of the Bible. That's what they live on. That's old school, man. You know, that's old school stuff. But that's what they believe in because they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe Jesus was the Son of God. So they live to please God and stuff, but they're living like rigid. You know, that's a rigid religion. In the Torah, there's fables in it. Fables in which the characters are usually animals and it contains a moral lesson. Their book has stuff like that. In studying, I saw some of the stories. Those are fables. The boy who cried wolf. Come on, somebody. Come on, the little boy who cried wolf. You know, he cried and cried and, you know, ah, ha, ha, ha. He checked the people. They ran out to save him. He lied. And then he said, help me. They ran out there again. And he tricked them. And then he did it again. But this time a real wolf came by and he was yelling for help. And they go, he's just out there yelling. And leave him out there. The moral of the story is, don't lie. Don't lie. You know, that's what Paul said. That's what Paul's telling Timothy. Don't get mixed up with all these fables that the Jews are throwing out. Because that's not what our doctrine is about. The boy who cried wolf, then what about the rabbit and the tortoise? Come on, somebody. Hard work, you know? Don't be lazy. And then endless genealogies. The Jews came out of the 12 tribes, Abraham's sons, Reuben, Ben, Joseph. There's so many, there's 12 guys. But the Jews, they say, you know, I'm teaching because so-and-so and so-and-so. And I'm from the tribe of Reuben, and Reuben's this and this and that. You know, they go on, they have these fights in the service. Because, no, but I'm this and that. And Paul's like, hey, get away from it, man. That's like me saying, I'm from Peru. You know, my family's been in the worship team from back here. Then my grandpa, then my great-grandma. I should be leading worship because my family's saying worship all the time. You know, that's endless genealogy. Somebody, endless genealogies. That's what Paul was telling him. Tell them, cut this stuff out. Don't get into this argument about myths and such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work. You know, they turn the service into a big old speculation. But God's saying it just promotes controversies, which is thoughts and guesses. You know, wait, let's talk about this. Wait, let's talk about this. You know, and then they just had a big old lecture with each other. These teachers would start arguments or meditation instead of just preaching the gospel, which is by faith, he said, rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. They do not help God's work, which can only be done by faith. If I started sat here telling you a story, you know, and I have, but they're not. I'm not doing these big old fables. I'm sort of giving you an example, a life example of mine or something. These people, they will get into that, and that's doing nothing to make you believe and have faith in God. These stories and my family lineage, you know, all that stuff not going to do nothing for you guys to live for God. You guys need to hear, man, let's get right. Let's serve God. Let's please God. All that stuff is just, it's irrelevant. Teachers who don't preach about faith do God's work a disservice. Because why? Because it's only by faith that we live for Jesus. It's only by faith that we work for Jesus. It's only by faith we will see Jesus at the end of our days. It doesn't matter where you come from, how educated you are, or what you believe. It's all about faith. I'm here because I have faith that I got saved. I got delivered one night, and I have not drank or smoked since then, 25 years ago. I believe God touched me. No, he took that craving away. I mean, I have no other explanation except I went to church one night. I heard the preacher preaching behind a pulpit. And I got up and I came up and I received Christ, and I've been clean ever since. I've got faith that happened. You know, that, man, 25 years now, I'm still going, man. You know, I mean, I'm sold. It's by faith that happened, not because somebody told me or what, you know. It's totally by, I mean, the Bible says we live by faith and not by sight. It's so crazy that we come to church faithfully and our faith starts to grow because we hear the truth coming from the preacher. The Bible says that's foolish to the world. That's the foolishness of the gospel, is that you're telling me if I believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again 3 days later, I will be saved? Yeah, that's it. That's the story. That's the gospel. And that will save you. Isn't it mind-blowing? You know, that I could be there a total druggie, an alcoholic, and I heard preaching from one guy behind a pulpit, and I got up, and I gave my life to the Lord. That blows my mind sometimes when I think of it that simple. That is crazy. That's the gospel. That's our doctrine. And Paul's telling Timothy, no other doctrine, no genealogies, no fables or nothing, just preach the gospel. That's what it's about. But then Paul says something here so big. He says, the goal of this command is what? The goal of this command is love. Here you go. This is our vision. What? To love, to be in unity, to love and serve others. But to be in unity, to love God and love others, I believe is what I said. So Paul tells Timothy here, the goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. Let's go to Romans 13:10. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Right? Isn't that what Paul told Timothy? The goal of this command is love. Paul tells the Romans here, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. You know, didn't Jesus give us two commands? Love God and love others. Let's go back to scripture, Romans 13:8. He says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continual debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Ding, ding, ding. I'm obeying the command to love when I love everybody. That's the goal of the command, man. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. Paul tells the church in Corinth, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Without love, we are nothing in God's book. Nothing. Let's go to Romans 12. Here you go. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. And from here, Paul gives a list of commands that if your love is sincere, everything else will flow from it. Let's see what he says. Be devoted to one another, honoring one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends. Leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll keep burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Those are the 11 commandments of Paul. If our love is sincere, all that will flow from us. All that will flow from us. We'll be joyful. We'll be sharing. If our love for God is sincere, everything else just flows from it. And if you don't have sincere love, it won't. To love comes from a pure heart. Pure means unmixed with another matter. It's not dirty. It's not fake. It's pure. A pure heart doesn't have strife or anger or jealousy or no selfish ambition. There's nothing rotten of that sort in a pure heart. Pure, it can also mean it's complete, total, perfect, or absolute. Pure, full of forgiveness, full of mercy, full of grace. A pure heart is unmixed. That's how authentic love is going to come, when a heart is pure of all that junk. And he says, in a good conscience. A good conscience. No guilt. No shame. Free. No condemnation. Romans 8, verse 1 and 2. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. A good conscience comes with a clean, honest life. No deception, no faking, no manipulation, and no sin. Because when our mind is full of that, that ain't right. My mind ain't right. My conscience ain't right if I'm thinking of how to get over someone. Come on, somebody. That's wicked. You know? If my mind is looking how to cheat, that's not a clear conscience. If I'm hiding sin, my mind is not clear conscious, you know? I will be shameful and regretful and guiltiness and, oh man, downtrodden. Come on. When our conscience is clean, we're free to love. We're free to love, and what people do with it is on them. But we're free to love, man. Man, we're free to forgive and merciful, man. And, man, graceful. You know, hey, it's all right. You know, it's all right. You stepped on me. It's all right. You know, get you back later. No. But a clear conscience, it comes from, well, let me tell you, getting ahead of myself, an ending and a sincere faith. What is a sincere faith? A pure, good, and true faith. An obedient faith, somebody. That's a sincere faith. If your faith is obedient and you do as God's telling you to do, that only proves your love is sincere for him. Let's go to James 4:17. James 4:17 says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, that's sin for them. Wow. Wait, Pastor. You just messed me up. You can't have a good conscience if you know that you should be doing something and you're not doing it. Your conscience isn't good. Your conscience is wrong. There's something twisted. Because an obedient faith comes only from sincere love for God. If our faith is sincere, everything else flows from it. A good conscience, a pure heart, all that. You'll be peaceful, loving, merciful, forgiving, helpful, and committed, a committed Christian, if our faith is sincere. Paul was telling Timothy, stay away from all these little games that the Jews are trying to do, all these false teachers. He says, stick to the doctrine. Stick to what we believe here. And I believe, like I said, my Bible says this is how to live. And how this is how we shouldn't live. And that's what's going to make us right with God. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus.